Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. We have a great show today that focuses on facilitating a network of support for our military and veteran spouses and families. Dr. Lisa Bora, a leader in helping veteran families with their transition to civilian life, join us to show how her organization is working hands-on with the veteran community. You want to hear this one. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors past and present, and your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, and USAA for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I say it every week, we love them too. As I said earlier, we have a great show today focused on facilitating a network of support for our military and veteran spouses and families, and I'm so excited to introduce Dr. Lisa Bora, Director of Military Institute for Military and Veteran Family Wellness at the University of Texas and Program Director of Veterans Network, and by the way, a military spouse. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm really honored to be here today.
Well, thank you so much. You know, we have a lot to talk about today, but before you do that, could you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm Lisa Bora. I'm a researcher here at University of Texas at Austin. And I'm also the spouse of a veteran, an Army veteran, and the mother of two kids in college. And my work that we're going to talk about today involves our institute here at UT, where I'm the director, as well as director of our Veteran Spouse Network.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, I'm excited about talking about that Veterans Network that you have going. Dr. Bora, let's start with by telling us what do you think are the top three or four big challenges that military families or spouses face when they transition out of the military?
Yeah, what we hear from our spouses that we work with across Texas and now outside of Texas across the country are that lack of community or connection that they feel after leaving military life. They don't really expect that to happen, but once they get out into the civilian world, if they've been part of military culture for a long time, they lack that community, and so they're really looking to find it with other spouses or even civilians. And then they also bring up issues around their veterans' health. Sometimes veterans are navigating the VA or other healthcare systems, or new issues come up for them that they didn't expect. And spouses really want to be there with them, helping them figure it out, but they feel they lack that knowledge. And so we try to address those knowledge gaps. And then also we try to focus on them and help the spouse think about their needs and what maybe they've put on hold, put on the back burner during military life, but also focus on self-care practices for themselves, making sure that they are doing well.
You know, one of the things that I always found, I mean, it seemed to me my wife's transitioned a lot easier than I did. But you say the spouses have a tough time transitioning?
I think it just depends on the individual. Some spouses have no issues, just like some veterans do really well, but then other spouses may struggle. There are some spouses that were very involved in military community life, lots of volunteerism, supporting the unit, supporting their spouse's career. And then when they leave the military life, they feel lost a little bit. Like they don't know, well, what's my identity? I'm no longer a military spouse. What am I? You know, what's a veteran spouse? What does that mean? And so similar to some veterans, they kind of are trying to struggle, or they are struggling with their identity. Like, what am I? Am I a civilian or am I still a military spouse? How do I fit in?
Well, I think if you spent 3 or 4 years in the military is one thing, but the ones that stay probably over 10 years, I think that's probably a little bit of a struggle.
Definitely.
Especially the ones that stay, you know, like myself, I say 36 years and I'm not sure I ever fit in again. I'm still trying to fit in a little bit, and I've been out 20 years because it is a struggle. Because I think the problem you have is a lot of times that you'll start talking about the military and people feel uncomfortable sometimes talking military, and they probably change the subject. So there's not a, sometimes the dialogue is a little tough, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. We hear spouses talk about that. They don't know how to talk with civilians sometimes if they've been part of military life for 20, 30 years. That can be, they don't know, the civilians may feel uncomfortable, like you said, not sure what to ask or what's appropriate to ask. And what we find in our peer support program is once they connect with other spouses who've been along the ride, you know, they've done military life, they really connect. Even if they didn't have the same branch or the same type of experience, they have something in common. And it really helps.
Yeah. Do you feel military families really understand a transitioning part of it? I mean, getting out of service? I think, well, let me say before you answer that question, I know you're going to jump right on it. But the one of the problems you have is when we start that transition. And I've right. always and I've always told people that they should start that transition probably when they come into the military and start thinking about it a little bit, because the military wants you to don't really talk a whole lot about transition because they want you to stay as long as you can. But we need to start that discussion a lot earlier in that transition part. Now you can go in.
No, I agree with you. I think we haven't thought about transition enough in terms of how the whole family is impacted. Understanding that if we do support the whole family in their transition, they'll all be better off. Even the veteran will be, you know, they'll do better if their spouse is more engaged and knowledgeable about what transition looks like. So I agree, at least a year out. But the challenge is that sometimes families don't know how soon that transition may happen, such as when a medical disability comes up or a separation for unexpected reasons. Then the family has to figure it out overnight. You know, what are we going to do? Who's going to go back to school? Whose job are we going to pursue? Where do we move? What schools do the kids need? And that really does require a lot of research. So I would say start in advance as much as possible. Start thinking about it. Start developing career paths or educational degrees or certificates that might help you in the future. I think all of it's really beneficial.
You know, I was telling somebody not too long ago, I said, I think we need to put that into our educational system. Within the military, for the officers and non-commissioned officers, and the spouses too, talking about a lot in advance, because you just said a year. I don't think, if you think about a year, so I'm going to get out of the service, so 6 months of that is really, processing out, doing the physical, doing all those things. So that doesn't give me much time to really find employment, find a job or do anything. So I always tell people, at least 2 years out, you ought to start that process, and it's still not enough time. And especially with the spouse. Well, here's what I do with my wife. I recommend it a lot of people, is before you get out of the service, if you can now, about a year out or 6 months out, wherever you want to live, move. Mm-hmm. Get your mm-hmm. family situated, and then go back, process out of the Army, and then go back there. But there's just little things like,
idea.
Well, it worked for me, but mm-hmm. we built a home and we did it about 9 months out. We started building a home. We flew down there to identify where we want to go. And it all worked out. The other thing is something as really simple as your checkbooks. You know, do you have when I was in the military, I had two separate checking accounts, one for my wife and one for me. Well, I've never changed that. I still have that. Of course, she monitors how much she gives me, but that's about the way it goes. But the other thing is just the fact that where do you want to live? I mean, I never even looked. I mean, mm-hmm. I said, well, I can live there. This is a good area. This, you know, good for me. You got to do a lot more research on where you want to live in there, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Unless you're planning to move around a lot again, if you don't like the first place, it's good to know where you think you want to settle down.
Yeah. Well, the hard thing is most people, for me personally, I thought, man, I'm going to move back to my hometown. Well, I grew up in Washington State and now I live in Florida. You see how that worked out for me. But that doesn't always work out right. Understanding where you, well, here's a couple things. What are you going to do? Where are you going to work? What kind of job are you going to have? Mm-hmm. Is there schooling there? If you have kids that are still in school, what kind of schools do they have for them? So there's a little small things I think are really important. Yeah. I guess you probably talk to, you know, the spouses about that anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Those are things that always come up. But the things that I guess are unexpected that we've learned are really important are understanding what the veteran may be facing that we don't expect, but we're learning a lot about in research that transition time can be a really hard one psychologically when you leave the military. Some veterans retire, others want to change careers, but they may lose that. Many tell us they lose that sense of purpose that they felt was so strong in the military. You know, you've got your mission, you know what you need to do every day, everybody's working toward a common goal. And then once you're out in the veteran sector, you may not have that same sense of connection or clear direction that you did in the military. And people struggle with that, quite honestly. And so they may seek help, you know, from a mental health counselor or just a career counselor to figure out what's going on with them. But often those things, in the very worst case, we know that the risk for suicide among veterans goes up during this 2-3 year time period after military service, which is very surprising, but it is something we're learning to understand. And so beyond the work that we do with peer support with spouses, we're trying to educate them about how they can be part of that suicide prevention process, you know, things to look for, how to be supportive, talk to your veteran about this, that you're there for them. So it's a hard subject, but it's something that we all have to really pay attention to.
You just brought up a lot of really good things I always like to talk about anyway, is the fact that we have to start educating our military about the culture that you're going to move into when you get out, you know, the changes that are going to occur. And when you talk about suicide and mental illness and all the rest of the stuff, that's really one of the biggest problems. When you get out of the military, you're isolated. You may not have anybody to talk to. So you need to make sure that you start talking to it. You know, I sort of blab too much every once in a while, but you got to talk to as many people as you can. And your spouse is a good one for you to talk to. I've been married for a long time, over 50 years. And I talk to my spouse about all sorts of stuff. And it really is good therapy for me. The other thing I'd tell you is I own a small company, and all the people in my company are all retired military. So that's another part of therapy for me.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, as we talked about earlier, peer support is so important for veterans. They really connect with each other. They lean on each other. They've had shared experiences, and that's so valuable. So, you know, we always advise spouses to get connected with other veteran spouses so that they have that peer support. But we always, you know, make sure the spouses understand that if your veteran is struggling or feeling alone, if they can go find another group of veterans to connect with, whether it be like a volunteer program, helping other veterans, that's really, really valuable for them.
See, I think, you know, in the military, when you go from one installation to another, you know, you go from, you know, from the, from, mm-hmm. you know, maybe from Texas to Germany or Korea or whatever, you always have a sponsor before you get there. For you and the whole family. So why don't we have a sponsor for somebody that gets out of the military?
So there are programs that are using that analogy or that example to try to develop transition support programs with that sponsor idea. We don't exactly use that term, but we think like that, that we want spouses to know that we are here for them, along with all those other great veteran serving, family serving organizations out there. You know, there's many thousands of veteran support organizations. So we try to be that vehicle for spouses to help them learn about all the different programs they could get support from, as well as where their veteran can get support, so that they do feel sponsored. And especially in their local communities, we hope that communities are doing a good job of helping people feel welcome as military families that we want to honor and recognize, and that there's available supports that they can access.
Well, you know, that you bring up another really sort of a big problem. There's so much stuff out there. How do I sort of bring it down to one or two or three? I mean, so if I got an issue, you know, there's just too many. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they says if you listen to the news, depending on which channel you listen to, you get a different, you know, a different response for whatever the question is. And probably it's the same thing in the military. If you depend on what website you go to, you're going to get a different kind of recommendations for what to do. So, I mean, do you have some website that you'd recommend, I guess?
Yes. So for our particular website, we're really focused on spouses supports. And so we found in the past that veteran service organizations do a really good job of laying out what they have available to veterans, but they don't always make it clear what they have for family members or spouses. They may say we serve families, but you don't know exactly how. So what we've done on our website, if you go to veteranspousenetwork.org, you'll go to our resource page. I'm sure you can find it. And what we've done is made a short list of recommended organizations that have programs that we think will benefit the veteran spouse. And we just put them into buckets under things like career. We know how important that is for spouses as they're leaving the military, you know, whether they want to go in a new direction, continue the career, rebuild it, whatever it is. Counseling, relationships, self-care, education, all the different things that a spouse may need, they can go look there. And those are the ones that we find to be They've been established, they're effective, they're usually national level organizations. But then if they get into a community and they're looking for a local resource, they can reach out to us within Texas, at least, and we can help identify a good list, a short list. Because you're right, we hear that, complaint a lot, which is, I'm overwhelmed by all the resources and programs, and I don't know where to start. And we hear that from veterans as well. And we hear it from the active duty side. And so there's, I think, a challenge for all of us working in this space is to figure out how to better help them navigate to the right program or resource that they need.
Yeah, yeah. I know you got some great programs like the Veteran Spouse Resilience Group. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So this is our oldest program that we started in 2017. And it came actually from a survey of our veteran spouses that we had first done, asking them, what are you looking for? And they told us they wanted peer support. So that was kind of cool. And so we did focus groups so that they could help us develop what topic should we be talking about? How do you, when you come together in a group of peers, what do you want to talk about? And so we did some research on it and found that what they really wanted was to look at relationship health, because they have struggles sometimes with their partner. They want to have a happy marriage, a happy relationship, but sometimes that's challenging. We look at some of the things I've talked about: career, education, parenting, setting their own personal goals, what transition has been like for them and for their families. So those are some of the big topics. And the, what we do there is we recruit veteran spouses to become trained peer leaders. And we have two leaders co-facilitate support groups that have 6 to 8 spouses present. And they last anywhere. We have a 6-week session, and then we also have a 12 weeks. 12 weeks was very popular before COVID happened, the pandemic. And then now we found that 6 weeks is a little bit more tolerable amount of time, because they come every week and they either join virtually through Zoom or they go to in-person groups. And we found this to be extremely successful, because once people get started and they connect with that group of spouses, they have very low dropout rates, and they love the program, and they do alumni groups on their own because they want to stay connected. It's really cool.
How did you determine the subject, what you're going to teach in that class?
Yeah, it kind of started by just asking them. We had a small group to start with, and we said, what are your biggest challenges in life? What are you dealing with that you struggle with that you want to talk to other people about and just bounce ideas? We don't call it problem solving. We call it peer support. So it doesn't mean we're going to fix your problems in 6 sessions. It's really meant to create a community of support for you, so you feel connected and that you have people even outside the group that you could reach out to. Hey, we're having a problem. I don't know where to go, what to do. And they just listen to each other, and they're just there for each other.
I think I asked you before in the prep call, do you do anything with the kids? Anything?
Well, not directly, but we do talk with the spouses who are usually mothers, not always mothers and fathers. And by the way, this program is designed for both female and male military and veteran spouses. The majority of our participants are female, but we're always looking for male spouses to join our program. Definitely. So, but we do have a session on parenting where we talk about what was the impact of military life on children, how do we support them in transition, just what is our focus around our kids? And I'll tell you, that session almost always has some tears involved, because we all love and care about our kids so much. It can be a really emotional one, but it's really rewarding because we all share common feelings about what we want for our kids. And it's not all negative. A lot of people really recognize the value of military service that their children benefited from. Even though life is hard, moving around so often, moving schools, losing friends, there's so many positives that come from military life and service that we talk about that.
Yeah, as you're talking, I'm sitting here thinking about the fact that usually when I was on active duty, I'd work long hours. I'd come home. I was tired. I was exhausted. Laid on, and so there wasn't a whole lot of communications going on between me and my wife. Luckily, she kept me. But the fact is, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are divorced because of that fact. They get out and they really don't know each other, and they're struggling there just a little bit when they get out.
Yeah, we've definitely heard those stories, and we've had spouses come to us and say, I'm really struggling. I want to stay married, but it's hard. And sometimes it's around the veteran not realizing perhaps what type of help they need to go get around their mental health. That's part of military culture, as many of us know. Sometimes we avoid getting help or indicating that we need it. And so during that transition, the veteran may come to realize, oh, I really have been struggling and I've been just putting this on hold. I've been compartmentalizing these mental health symptoms, but it's a big problem. And my relationship has been suffering. We hear that so often. And we had one story that came out of our group one time was, this was early on. We have in our curriculum, we have a passage where a soldier describes what PTSD was like for him from his point of view, the ways in which it impacted his life, hurt his relationships, and just how it changed him. And we have the spouses read this as part of our section on learning about PTSD, TBI, et cetera, because we try to teach them about these issues that soldiers face, service members face. And so one of the spouses came to us after this whole program was finished, and she said, I just want you to know, I was ready to divorce my husband, who was a veteran, before the group. I couldn't take it anymore. You know, we were done. The PTSD was too much and what I was feeling in the relationship. And she said, but after I read the passage where another service member described what PTSD was like from their point of view, it changed my whole mindset. And I was able to see it from his point of view. And now I'm really trying to work on our relationship.
Yeah.
And that was one of the most powerful stories. And we're so glad she told us, because we really do want to help improve relationships as much as we can.
Dr. Moore, I want you to hold that thought because I want to talk some more about PTSD or PTS. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, let's talk some more about some of the other programs, spouses program that you're providing. We'll be right back. We're talking with Dr. Moore, director of Institute for Military and Veteran Family Wellness, and at the University of Texas, program director of Veteran Spouse Network. Don't forget, if you're enjoying this, this is a discussion that we all got to talk about. It's about relationships with our spouse. It's so important that we learn how to communicate correctly. That's for doggone sure. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Also, click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. Dr. Bora, before the break, we talked about Veteran Spouse Resilient Program. What other programs are you providing for, military spouses and families?
Well, we have another one called the Veteran Spouse Network Social Club. And this started in COVID, really, because before the pandemic, we were an in-person program. And then, of course, just like the rest of the world, we switched to virtual. And we just wanted to create a shorter version, just a really quick touch base so we could all get online together. So we started these one-hour sessions of peer support. And we opened it up to including any topics that they were interested in and include a lot of the ones we already talked about. So we would have 1 hour session on our relationships with our partner. So we could talk through that and share, what we're dealing with in our own homes and how we can improve. And usually what happens is the spouses share suggestions. Well, I tried this program run by other organizations, or I like this one. So it's really a good way to get a word of mouth referral. But then we also have the Empower Ed Women webinar series, which is brand new or about 6 months old. And that's been going extremely well because it's more educational. So we bring in an expert speaker to talk about a topic. So an example of one where we had over 90 people register was on moral injury. And that's something that's a much newer concept within this mental health space. Has symptoms similar to PTSD, but not exactly the same. And the clinicians and researchers are still trying to understand it. But it's the idea that perhaps sometimes in military service, you're required to engage in acts that go against your moral code. And, sometimes that's necessary. You're following orders. You're doing the most appropriate thing given the circumstances in action. You have to do what your commander says. Big picture, when you separate and move on, you may question that, or you may feel some guilt, things like that. And that can lead to a moral injury, but it's a newer concept. And so spouses have been really curious about it. And so we brought in an expert to talk through it. And what is the research on it? What is the treatment out there? So that's an example of one that has had huge attendance. And then we also have one called TBI Talk. And what that is spouses that are married to or partnered with veterans who are dealing with TBI. And that is one of the most difficult, challenging set of symptoms that a veteran can be going through, because it's not the same thing in every case. It depends on the injury, the nature of the injury that they may have had. And it's a struggle for relationships and for spouses to understand how to support that person and even what does it look like. So those have been fun because people are really hungry for information and knowledge, and we're excited that spouses can come to us for that.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things, and hopefully you don't take this the wrong way, I used to tell people, they'd ask me what my job was in the military, and just jokingly one day I said, we need to kill people. Well, if you think about it, that really was my job, protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And so yeah. You make decisions mm-hmm. and are do things that you're certainly not proud of that you have to live with. In fact, one session we had here not too long ago, I talked about the fact that I've seen more death in my life than I'd care to talk about. And I think it's one thing to talk about it, but unless you walk in my shoes and you can see those kind of actions, those kind of things that you had to do that maybe you don't want to tell your spouse, that's hard because you don't want to tell. I mean, I could tell you a bunch of stuff that I've done I'm certainly not proud of, but I've been to places overseas years ago, especially this is a lot of years ago in Vietnam, where I actually stepped over bodies and drug bodies out of the way and did some stuff probably that I'm certainly not proud of, that's for sure. I shouldn't say I'm not proud of, but that was my job. That was my responsibility. Exactly. It was right. either do that or pay the cost with my life. And I certainly didn't want to do that.
No, and that's a very common feeling. It was required of you at the time. It's required of all of our service members to do what is needed in that moment to accomplish the mission. But there are consequences of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. The psychological impact that individuals feel and receive. And so trauma can lead to difficult mental health symptoms that can be treated, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's the great thing. And we share with our spouses too, is that this is not a lifelong issue that can't be addressed. People can feel better and improve through treatment, and we can help refer them to the appropriate licensed clinical providers, the VA, all kinds of great resources. So it's one thing more first to recognize what's going on and then help spouses find a place where they can talk through it and understand what's happening.
You know, I've suffered from post-traumatic stress for years. You know, I don't know if I told this before, but I was overran, 20 wounded and 7 killed. And in fact, years ago, I was, where was I? I was in San Diego, and I was talking to a doctor that was helping people with post-traumatic stress. And I told him about myself. You know, there's certain things that I'll talk about sometimes that it's hard for me to get through. And he sort of talked about the fact that I try to block it all out. Somewhere my brain is trying to block that stuff out so I don't see it, even though I know I was there and I know that that I see a lot of things. Most of the time I can't see it. I know I was there. You know, if I think real hard, I can vision it, I guess. But I just try to block it all out. And certain words that I say every once in a while, it'll make me struggle through it a little bit about tearing up a little bit. But I've learned, and this is 1967 to 68, and so I've lived through it for that many years. But I think I've learned to cope with it in such a way that it's good when I'm giving a speech. If I tear up a little bit, people think he's really into it. But it's a little tough. It's a little tough. And I only say that because I was I think I told you too. I was 16 trips to Afghanistan, 3 in Iraq. I was fighting in the streets of Saigon. I was in the Pentagon for 9/11. Overran, like I said, 20 wounded and 7 killed. But I think about young adults today that have trips to Afghanistan that are, you know, may have 10, 15 trips, and now Afghanistan is finished. But they're struggling with a lot of stuff that probably I didn't have to struggle with.
Right. And just to add to that, something that we're trying to do to get ahead of it is educate spouses during active military service.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can better understand. I mean, really, we hope the service members are getting educated about the risks that they are facing related to their trauma exposure, which is what we call all the things you guys are going through over there, that there are potential psychological consequences of that trauma. And so people need to be aware and be looking for those symptoms if they don't resolve on their own, if you're still struggling, if you're having nightmares, hypervigilance, you know, all kinds of things, or cognitive deficits from a TBI. Everyone needs to be aware that these risks exist, so that they can get treatment early. And so if the spouse is also educated and aware of what could be happening here, they can, you know, hopefully be a advisor to their service member and say, I think you might be different than when you left, and I think you might want to get checked out. Because that's really important. I mean, in terms of getting treatment early, so you don't have to struggle your whole career, or sometimes things can get so bad where you're not as, you know, functional in your position. And, you know, you might not get to stay in the military if it gets so bad.
Oh, yeah.
You're not managing. Yeah. And then this speaks to suicide as well. Sometimes people can struggle so much and not get help and not talk about it that they may see suicide as a solution to the pain that they're feeling and the difficulty that they're going through. And so we want to talk about it and say, these are risks that you face, but there are good healthcare options, as long as everybody knows.
Yeah.
So it's just really that open conversation is so important.
I think the key is, though, is talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell people stories all the time, and I think storytelling is probably the best way to do it. But I talk to people all the time about, you know, things that occur to me, things that happen, and I'm real open about it. And I think that's helped me a great deal. But sometimes I talk to my wife about that stuff, and she'll be really polite, will listen. But again, it's a little bit different because she has not been there, and she hasn't seen, and she can't see. I wish there was a way sometimes to have something on national television or something like that where it show, you know, a little bit more of things that are going on in war. I don't know if we could ever do that. So go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it's just another peer support program. I wanted to mention that sometimes it's not our staff that think of the ideas of what topics to cover. Mm-hmm. For example, you reminded me about Afghanistan when the withdrawal happened. Everyone, you know, in society was just shocked and troubled and, you know, anxious about it. And there was a lot of focus on supporting veterans that were thinking about, you know, how difficult this was and was their service and sacrifice not valued. Of course it was, right? But what we heard was the spouses started coming to us and saying, we are struggling because we felt we sacrificed with the many, many years that our service member was deployed to Afghanistan. Like, we felt that we could deal with it because it was worth the effort. You know, we wanted to help that country. So we started offering peer support sessions for the spouses to come and talk about how they were feeling after the withdrawal. So that was really powerful because we wanted to be there for them and provide that space so they could talk.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of my friends that say, you know, that was just they're upset about it, they're bothered mm-hmm. by it and stuff. But I always tell everybody, hey, look, everybody has a squad leader. Everybody's got a boss. You know, the military is no different than anybody else. We follow instructions. We didn't make that decision. Somebody else made that decision for us. We just did what they told us to do. So it's tough, but it's a shame that. That we go through something for such a long time. Now it's really back to what it was 20 years ago. So that's really, Dr. Ward, this is such a great discussion. I appreciate you talking to me about all these different kind of things that I probably brought up. We're going to take a quick break. I don't want you to go anywhere. I want you to hold that thought because I'm going to be right back here in a minute. We got a lot more to talk about. So don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Dr. Bora, Director of the Institute for Military and Veteran Family Wellness at the University of Texas, Program Director for the Veteran Spouse Network, and one of our viewers to reach out to directly. Tell us about your transition. You know, tell us what's going on with you so we can try to help you out anyway. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover. You know, I always say it's not my show, this is our show. So tell me what you want us to cover. You can call or text me at 844 424-1134, and I'll actually reach back out there. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Dr. Bohr, we're heading into our final segment with you today, and I hope you enjoyed it just as much as I am, because we've sort of gotten to a lot of different subjects here with you for a couple of seconds there. What are the top three things you'd like to change that will help our families better deal with the understanding of transition?
Yeah, I think it's about recognizing that it is a big shift. Yep. It's not just, oh, we're finally finished. We can finally, this is how we used to think. Now we can decide where we want to live and what we want to do. And really, it's way more than that. It's a big shift in, like I mentioned earlier, your identity. You're going to have to think about, are we going to focus on that military service and stay connected to veteran communities, which is a great idea, but also how are we going to connect with other identities? You know, is it our career, other civilians, our families that we now possibly can spend more time with? So another piece is I feel like DOD can do even more than they have done in terms of educating spouses. So there have been attempts to improve the TAP program so that spouses are also invited, or there's a thing called TAP 2 where spouses can go to a program just for them. But as you and I have talked about, I think it's really important for the couple to do TAP together, because I think that couple makes decisions together about the next chapter in their lives.
Absolutely.
So if they're there in the meeting together, listening to all the content related to what the service member needs to deal with, what the VA is going to look like, what career paths and education are available to them both. I think it just opens up conversation for the two of them to figure it out together and get support together. So that's something I would love to see changed, is just more focus on the couple if the service member's married. I also think, you know, the VA is a great organization. It has amazing providers, but we still hear that veterans and families struggle to navigate services. It's not always easy. And that's something we've been doing with spouses, is helping them understand how to help their veteran navigate the VA healthcare system, which is large, and then the other two parts of the VA that are also necessary to navigate. And so the extent that the VA could better engage the spouse in that process would be really valuable. There are laws and restrictions that we have to pay attention to. But if there could be programming that could support the couple when the veteran wants that spouse involved, or even just another friend or partner, it doesn't have to be the spouse, but just someone to help the veteran along the way, because it's not easy doing it all alone, and it's kind of overwhelming.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's really funny you say that, because when I was in the military and I transitioned out of the military, I went to TAP. I brought my wife with me for everything that I did. However, when I did go to the TAP brief, and I sat there for about an hour and realized that I was at the wrong level here. So I went back to my office and called in, told them to send someone over to my office, which worked out pretty good for me. They squared me away. Yeah, but I think you need to make sure that the spouse is involved. We ask them to do a lot of stuff all the way through your military career. And it seemed to me it's sort of crazy for us not to include them in the transition process, especially when you get out of the military. And let's be honest about one thing. I know you know this already, but who makes the decisions in the family? And I'm military. I've stayed in the military a long time. I told that already. My wife does. When I was gone, she was making all those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
so
right.
So I'm not gonna. Yeah. I'm not crazy enough to make any decision without her there saying, yeah, it's okay, and I'm gonna go her way anyway. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it could be designed in a way that includes the two of them together, with even some homework or worksheets where, okay, these are some key decision points that are going to have to be made for your family, and just help them through that process together, and go and do some homework and come back next week. Okay, where do you stand? But almost like we need transition counselors for the family to support them as they leave.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, and I was just going to add, and paying attention to the children's transition and what that's going to look like. What organizations, resources, programs, et cetera, are out there that can support their kids? How do you educate new schools who've never had military kids there? You know, what does that look like? So I think there's a lot more we can do for the whole family.
You must be reading my note right here. I was going to ask you about the kids in a minute.
I can read your mind.
Well, let me throw one more thing. I think we should have an app, because that's the way technology is going now. Why don't we have an app that says transition for the military spouse and for the active duty service member, where a lot of that information could be in an app. And I think nowadays with all that stuff, it probably helped them transition a little bit easier anyway.
For sure. Yeah.
You don't agree.
I agree.
How can people learn more about how they participate in Veteran Spouse Network programs?
Well, we are expanding nationally outside of Texas. So we want to provide this type of peer support to every spouse in the country and OCONUS, anyone out there that wants to get involved. And so if you go to our website, veteranspousenetwork.org, or look on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and we are at Veteran Spouse Network. So we try to keep it easy, at Veteran Spouse Network. And just look up all the programs we have, the calendar of events. You can register for all of these things and join us. And then you could also become, if you're really liking the program, you can become trained as a veteran spouse leader. And this is a great way to give back to the community. For those spouses that have been out of the military or have transitioned for a few years, it's really valuable to give your guidance back to the new spouses that are coming out. So it's a great thing to do is become a peer leader.
Yeah. Do you work with different organizations, like military organizations that are nationally?
Yes.
Like for me, it's always the Association of the United States Army or Militaries Association. Do you work in any of those groups?
Yes, we're connected with many of those to help us recruit spouses and make sure they know about the program. One of them is Blue Star Families, so we're connected with them. We're also working with Onward Ops, which is a new organization trying to help service members with sponsors as they transition. We also work with Hiring Our Heroes, other employment-focused organizations for spouses so that they can learn about not just employment support, but all the other emotional and social support that we can offer them.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're always looking for partners and we're open to more conversations with other partners that want to work with us.
How do you market what you guys are doing? How do you get the market? I mean, there's a lot nowadays, there's a lot of different ways to get the word out.
Always. Yeah. It's always hard, right, to navigate all that. So we use social media, but we realize not everybody's there. And so we also have a newsletter that if you visit our website, you can look up and sign up for the newsletter. And that's every other week. And we share all the programs that are coming out, how to register, what webinars we're doing, what topics we're doing. So those are the main ways, really, is email and social media. And then, of course, we go to outreach events here in Texas. We'll go to all the Vet Fest and different fairs that we can get to meet people in person, because we love talking with spouses. And then, of course, we're always open to Zoom meetings, you know, with anybody, anywhere. If they want to meet up with us and talk through the program, we'd love to do that.
Well, first of all, let me say thanks a lot for coming on the show. You're such a talented person.
You're so nice.
And I appreciate what you're doing for all of our military spouses and our military service members too. Any final thoughts, anything maybe we missed or do you want to cover?
No, I guess I would just reiterate that we want the whole veteran family to thrive after military service, and it's not always easy to figure out. And so we just encourage everyone to reach out for the supports they need. We can be one place for that. We'd love to have you and join our programs. But we can also refer them to any other resource that they're looking for.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Again, Dr. Bohr, I want to, from this old soldier, I want to thank you for what you do and what you continue to. I didn't ask, was your husband in the military? Was your
Army? Yes.
How long was he in the service?
He was in 9 years.
9 years. Right. You know what? I stayed 36. Anybody that stayed nine, you know what? Let me ask you one question. Does he ever say he missed it? Wish he'd have stayed a little longer?
He really, really does. He almost signed up for National Guard. He did miss it. But the reason he left, and this is another point I actually wanted to cover, is that he was worried about us being alone for so long. He was one of the people that got a 15-month deployment to Iraq. And after that, in 07, 08, he just felt like he couldn't stay in given the impact on his family. And I hear that a lot from spouses, from active duty spouses, that it's a real struggle to balance what they want the family to serve and commit to for the U.S. government and society. But on the other hand, they want to focus on what their families need. So to the extent that the military can really be family focused and address their needs, it will really help with retention overall. And that's especially true around spouse employment as well. as they are often the reason why families leave, is because spouses feel like their careers aren't going to do well if they're constantly moving around. They can't really get a foothold and grow their career. So we've heard from many spouses that they were the decision makers as to why the family left the military. So we need to do more to really keep that family happy and supported so that the whole family can stay in.
Well, I think your husband or your spouse made the right decision. I tell people all the time, I never watched my kids grow up. Mm. They went from 2 to 20, from 2 to 30. And I missed so many birthdays and so many Christmases. And so I think the decision that your husband made, probably for him now, is probably the right decision. For me, I think it was better staying. But I always feel bad about the fact that that I missed all that that time that you can never get back, that's for sure.
Right. It's hard. It really is.
Well, from now on, from this point on in the rest of my life, I'm going to call you Dr. Bora. I'm not going to call you anything else. I appreciate what you do. Keep up work. And if I can ever help you in any way, please let me know. I'm here for you.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to help. If I can help military spouses or family members or veterans in any way, I certainly want to do it. And you're doing a great job. There's no question in my mind about that.
Thank you so much. Thank you for what you do and this great show.
All right. God bless you.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks again. I'm not going to mess it up. Thanks again to Dr. Bora for being with us today. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you're watching Your Next Mission video podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say I hope it's a good one, but I can take anything, I guess. You can also visit our nonprofit and corporate partners where they can provide you with so many services that are available that will assist you in your transition from the military. Please know we want to assist you any way we can. I'm going to say that again. Please know we, all of us, we're all part of a family. We want to assist you any way we can. Please follow me on all my personal social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, Rumble. And if you enjoyed this discussion with Dr. Bora, like us, click down that subscribe button below. Also, don't forget, click on the bell next to the subscribe button and receive all the notifications of our upcoming video podcast. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Dr. Bora for joining us today. It was absolutely wonderful having him on the show, or having her on the show. And, you know, spouses are so important to all of us, and taking care of the spouses and the military member and our kids are important for all of us. I told a story a minute ago about, you know, I didn't watch my kids grow up. I missed so many birthdays, and I missed, you know, so many Christmases and all that stuff because I stayed a long time in the military. I can't go back and change that. That's just part of my life. But I want you to remember we're all part of a family. And I say it all the time, we got to make sure that we take care of each other. If you're struggling or you have a problem or whatever, reach out to somebody and talk to them because we're all here to help you. And make sure that you get into these programs, but help our spouse, educate our spouses about you know, what you're doing each and every day. I never talked to my wife about a lot of stuff I did in the military. I'd usually just come home and fall asleep. I wasn't a very good husband in that regard, I guess. But it's important to make sure the spouse is involved in everything that you do each and every day of your life. So be smart. Listen to me. Take care of your spouse. Again, thanks for watching. Thanks to Newmind Studio, of course, our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.